Today on the Rock for Him podcast, we have the absolute complete craziness of the band Mawcore. Such a fun episode. Be sure to keep listening.
Hello and welcome into the Rock for Him podcast. I am your host, Sanchez. Missing tonight is our friend, our brother in Christ, Jeremy Brown. Eventually, we will get that guy back on here someday, hopefully. But I am joined by my brother in Christ, Mr. Riker Levine.
What's up?
Good to see you, brother. Also joined by my sister in Christ, we have Kira. Kira, how's it going?
So good. A little tired, but I'm good.
As are we all. But we have the men of the hour here. The reason everyone is tuned in right now. Yeah, you two.
Is there someone else in the room?
Not from Australia.
We are talking to the guys from Mawcore. How's it going, gentlemen?
Pretty good.
Going great.
Good.
Wearing flannels, staying warm.
Yes. Oh, at least somebody's staying warm. Like, I literally have a fire built in my house right now, and I am still freezing. Yes. If only I had a fireplace. But so I was looking today, and it has been 3 years since we've had you guys on.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think you guys are right at the end of our first season, and we are now on year 5, technically, so.
And none of us have aged at all.
No.
I mean, in fact, people age backwards. I think when Reichard was on, he was, 50, and look at him, now he's barely in his 20s.
Yeah, exactly. It's just something weird happening. There's something weird going on with this podcast.
Listen, don't make fun of 50-year-olds. I literally just turned 50.
Congratulations. Milestone.
I hear that you're only as old as you feel. I literally feel like I died in the Civil War. So,
but Jason,
you and Jeremy, you have something in common. Jeremy's 85 years old.
Jason, you don't look a day over 49, okay?
83.
Okay. Jason doesn't look a day over 49. That's nice.
No, nobody wants to hear about me, this old guy. We want to hear about those two old guys. So,
hey.
Listen, we're friends. We can do this. So, what brings you guys on tonight? What you guys want to chat about?
Just the opportunity to hang out with y'all. And it's been so long. Lots of things have changed. And there's lots of new things happening in the Mawcore world. But I mean, it's always the same focus, and that focus is to spread hope, the hope of Jesus Christ. But we keep evolving and turning into different people. Jeremy used to be Ralph.
Gunther.
So, tell us a little bit about these changes. Are we talking like lineup changes?
Well, if it's been 3 years since we've talked to you, there has been lineup changes. Yeah, there's been a couple of lineup changes.
Yeah, we keep kicking people out.
we don't get along with anybody. It's not us, it's them.
Yeah. The only reason I stick around is because my contract says I have to.
If he bows out of his contract, he owes me $1 million. It's the only way I'm going to make any money at this. I have to make contracts with all the members. If they leave, they owe me money.
Nice.
That's why I stay. Yeah. It's hoping that they leave.
I mean, it's a good thing that 13 minutes doesn't do that, because literally Jamie would be rich by now.
Well, maybe he is. Maybe he's not talking about it.
He's just not being honest.
So seriously, what's going on, guys?
Well, I don't know. What do you think? What do you think's going on?
Well, what are we allowed to tell him?
We know we have new music coming out. We know that.
And
we just don't know how we're going to release the new music right now. But there is new music coming. It's that we have actually an entire album ready to roll, but it'll be coming out in one song at a time more than likely. So our goal was to have already released it like now, but that didn't happen. So I think that's why we scheduled with you, because we were hoping that it was ready to roll. It's actually ready to go out, but there's just a series of events that are hindering it from, like, it seems like there's people coming at us and making it hard to happen. There's a lot of things happening right now.
So if we're going to get drip feed releases, then is what are the chances of us being able to get a date to, or at least a general time frame to look forward for that first song?
What are you looking at me? I don't know.
You're the one that's getting people excited, you know?
You keep pushing the date back. I say, let's do it.
I'm pushing the date back because of certain things. But right now, it would be great if it was the middle of February.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be awesome if it happened in the middle of February, because it is a total musical departure, I would say, from things that we've done in the past. We have, with having new members and having new writing control, it's a lot different than the mockcore of the past. So
it's still us, but also grown up a little bit.
So how different? So when we start getting music from it, the last thing we got from you guys was the full release of War Cry.
Yeah.
At least that's the last thing I think you guys released. So how much different than that is it going to be?
Well, so the people that have worked on it for us, putting it together, you know, mixing it and mastering it and all that stuff, they have said that you're going to know that it's mockcore, but you're not going to know that it's mockcore. I mean, my voice is always going to be that. Like, it's not... I'm not going to be like somebody different, but I've been told I have a unique voice. So that'll definitely set it apart. People are like, oh, I know that vocal. Yeah. So that's not going to be much different, but just the musical element of it is going to, and the focus that we're going for, we're hitting tougher subjects than we have in the past. Like War Cry was definitely more focused on, a very positive outlook, whereas this is sort of hitting life at head on, because you know, War Cry was being called to battle, and the next batch of songs were actually in the battle. So it's a little bit more direct punch to our faces, basically. It's the things that we've dealt with in life, and we're kind of, you know, fleshing them all out.
I love that. And real quick, before the other two get into their questions, because I know Kira's got a page of questions that she's going to ask. She always does. But I don't know if you remember, but we reviewed when War Cry came out. And one of the things that I had said was, it was fantastic, like lyrically, musically, great. But I felt like your voice was kind of drowned out by a lot of the instruments. Was there an adjustment on this new record to where it kind of brings you out more, because you were kind of faded into the background a little bit, in my opinion? Like, don't get me wrong, it sounded great, but you were in the background more than what...
I guess it depends on the listener, because some people actually thought the vocals were too loud. So like, it really depends on, yeah, it depends on who you like. Some of the, so we get played on a lot of mainstream radio too, and some of them feel like the vocals are too loud. So it really depends on who's listening to it. The listener kind of regulates that. So we had a variety of people that listened to that last album, and we kind of just took the overall consensus and left the vocals where they were based on the feedback we'd received.
Well, maybe I'm just such a fan of your voice that I was like, you know, turn that bassist down. He's no good. Just mute him a little bit.
Oh, man, we cranked me up this last. So.
In fact, it's all bass.
All bass.
Yeah. It's just drum and bass.
It's just bass and drums.
That's how it was meant to be. Come on. This is rock and roll. This is...
Yeah. I'm just kind of like ad-libbing. I'll just go, and he's going...
We pulled out the 8-string bass, just tuned it as low as possible.
Yes! See, people, this is what you get with Mawcore, honestly.
So, I mean, you guys haven't been on the podcast in a while, and I'm assuming first time coming on, maybe you gave your testimonies, but especially since it's been so long, if maybe you guys would like to take a couple minutes each and talk about your testimonies, how you came to know Christ, and then obviously how that turned into making music.
I mean, my testimony, and you're probably the same way, I was blessed to be, you know, born into a pastor's family. And so, like, Jesus was always there. In fact, and he was there in a real way. Unfortunately, you know, my dad was a pastor in an independent Baptist Bible type of thing. And the cool thing is the fundamentals were there. The bad thing was they do it in a militant way where they use the Bible to basically, you know, stab you with instead of letting you grow into the person that God wants you to be. So, but my dad was always good at sort of softening that blow. Even though he was in it, he was not technically a part of it. He knew that God called him to ministry, and that's just the route that God took him. And for better or for worse, it taught him a lot of things. Because again, the fundamentals were there, and that's not the bad thing. So I definitely grew up in that. And but at the age of 5, I came to the Lord. I was sitting on my bunk bed, and I said, "Dad, I think I'm ready to have Jesus in my heart," or something of that matter. And so I let that happen, and he led me to the Lord with, you know, some real simple scriptures and some simple prayers. And so at the age of 5, I had that opportunity. But, you know, when you're young, you're still learning and growing. So over the next years of growing, probably about the age of 11, I was worried that I did it wrong. So at the age of 11, I rededicated my life to the Lord. And that's where it really sunk in, because before that, I was still kind of concerned that things weren't right. But yeah, so that was the start of my spiritual journey. Start of my musical journey was about the same. I was born into it. Same dad had music. So
yeah, since we had the same dad.
we have the same dad. So his upraising was
very the same.
Yeah, I was just born in the Midwest, and you were born in Pennsylvania.
I'm born in Pennsylvania.
Sorry, I thought you were just like, same story, I was just born in Pennsylvania. So
yeah, there's that moment we're all waiting for it to get expounded upon.
You're like, no, that's it. I don't really have nothing crazy. Just on the way to church one Sunday night, I asked my dad, "What? I don't understand, can you explain it to me?" And then we walked through it. It's very simple. I just didn't want to be left out like everybody else.
Yep. I mean,
but it's constantly growing. Like a couple years ago, I was struggling, and I kind of refound myself again. So it's like, I feel like I, every so many years, it's like God kind of meets me again and makes me kind of reestablish things.
The cool thing is God is allowing of questioning. He's allowing, because when we question, we explore. And when we explore, we find a deeper relationship with him, which is really awesome. The more personal it is, the more it helps you get through even the simplest struggles. And each person goes through their things. Like, at the age of 30, I decided to mess up my life. You know, like pastor's kids are supposed to rebel. And I decided to wait till I was 30 to rebel. It's like everybody goes through things. And then, you know, God walks through those with you and brings you back. So,
you know, I just watched a video where the guy was talking about God is that like that ironsmith or that goldsmith, that he puts us in the fire. He puts us through these tests to raise the dross in us, to raise that garbage up to the top that he can just sweep off from it. And he just keeps putting us through that fire until we come out of it as pure gold.
Yep.
Like, that is what he's doing. He's putting us through that fire. Some people just, you know, react to it differently, but just know that that is what he's doing. When you question it, that's him putting you through the fire, because then you're going to come out of it and you'll be like, I see what you're doing, God. He's wiped that garbage off from you. Now you're pure gold. So.
And his plans aren't deterred. If he has fashioned a plan for you and has a plan for you, his plan is going to play out no matter what choices you make. And that's hard for us to understand. That's even hard for pastors to understand. I think that's why sometimes pastors come across as being hyper judgmental, because they are trying to they're trying not to condone sin. Because if they say, hey, even if you sin, God's going to work through it. I mean, you don't want your whole congregation knowing that, because they'll be like, all right, sweet, I'm going out and screwing up my life because God's still going to work through it. But it is also good to know that God is going to work through it even when you do fall. And that's right. if he wasn't going to do that, then, you know, the moment that, you know, a prostitute came into the lineage of Jesus, God went like, let's go around that. No. God went right through that prostitute and kept that lineage going. So he has, his plan is always straight. Ours is the one that does this.
For sure. All right, Kira, what you got?
All right. So you'll have to forgive me. I didn't even know of you guys until recently. And I'm new to this podcast, so I just, you know, I heard of you. He was like, Mock Horse coming on here, so I started doing my research. Clearly,
don't
I didn't
worry, do you're one, one of research. 8 billion people that don't know us.
But that's what I love about this podcast. It's introducing me to more music, you know. I've only been a Christian for 2.5 years, and that was one of the first things that God put on my heart was I needed to leave all my music I was listening to behind. You know, I was listening to a lot of death metal, really hardcore screamo stuff. That's my genre. So I'm just God introduced metal, Christian metal to me, and I was like, yay. So there's a lot of rock bands that I'm still getting to know because of it. So I'm really grateful for this opportunity to have listened to your music. The first song I listened to, obviously I got you on Spotify and Bottom Feed came up. Love that song.
Which version?
Oh, is there multiple versions? I didn't even know.
There's two versions of Bottom Feed.
Remix version.
Yeah, there's actually a remix version. Our first version was self-produced. Our second version was produced by Justin Forshoff of We as Humans. So yeah, there's another version.
Okay. Well, that's cool to know. No, I really liked it. I was hoping you could explain the lyrics on that to me a little bit.
I always struggle because it's art. So like that was coming from my recovery. So like it was a bunch of years after I decided to mess up and then come back to the Lord and find my way. But, you know, in those years of messing up, I really saw, unfortunately, some true colors of people, how, you know, they're so quick to want to destroy you even more. Like when you're down, they want to just kick you down. And so I approached that from a place of hurt in need of healing. So it's a double-edged sword song where it's talking directly to the devil, because the devil, it's not really people who are attacking you. And I had to come to the terms with that. Yes, those people were being used because of their jealousy, their desire to see people fall, because nobody likes to see success. We'd rather see failures. That's why TV shows that have disasters happening are so popular. We want to see disasters. So I had to come to terms with the fact that it wasn't really those people who were attacking me. It was actually the devil who was attacking them and using them as vessels to try to destroy me even more. And so basically it's a song that says that, you know, you might drag me to the bottom, you might try to hold me down, but that's not going to happen. I'm going to come back up. So,
yeah, I love that. I kind of got the gist of that. I am too, also in recovery, and, you know, Jesus healed me from addiction. So praise God for that. So I understand what you're saying 100%. And that is something that I've learned is you hate the sin, not the sinner. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's, I also really loved Against the Wall, because that's very relatable as well, you know, especially when you're down, like, and you finally get the courage to start fighting, you will not let anything hold you down. Like, you're going to win because God will prosper you. So that's awesome. I love that. Yeah. I also loved War Cry too. That was, it's very truth telling. There's a lot of truth to the War Cry. I heard that. Yeah. It was beautiful. But I was looking at your guys's website, and it looks, I love this because a lot of bands seem to be doing this, but you guys kind of have a blog or devotionals that you do. I really loved reading them. They're very relatable, very hope inspiring. And I really feel like you capture, are you the one that writes those?
For the most part, yeah. But Jeff, who was in the band, he did a lot of devotionals, and he would do those all the time. So some of his are on it too. So
They go all the way back to 2016.
Yeah. So there was a lot of them. Of course, we've been lazy in the past couple months, but it's been a crazy past 6-7 months. It's just been some crazy stuff going on. So
Yeah. But they're good because really anybody from whether they are believing or not, like wherever they're at in their life, they could come in there, read those, and they could find hope in that. Yeah. And then they'll find bits of, oh, this is about Jesus, you know, like, oh, wow. Like, so that it's a great, it's really great. I love it. I love it a lot. It was good. And then it's cool because you also did a cover of the O Come Emmanuel before Skillet.
Man, that was our best Facebook post ever. It was so good. Like, we purposely knew that we were gonna get beat up, and we wanted that so badly because it just drug people in. Like,
upset they got.
But the world has lost their sense of humor so much that even full blown satirical websites that have always been known as satire have to now put at the bottom of all of their posts, this is satire. Like, come on, people, have a sense of humor.
I loved it. I absolutely love it. It was good. You guys, I do love and I enjoy your music, and it is now officially on my Spotify playlist. So I will be listening to it randomly throughout every day.
Nice.
Good. Mm-hmm. And then I do have more like random questions later if you guys want to ask any other questions.
Well, I wanted to comment on that whole O Come Emmanuel post. Like, I so badly wanted Crimson Overtone to jump into that because they released their version of it last year. Yeah. And I'm like, come on, Christina, you got to jump into this conversation. I should have tagged them on it because I'm like, this could have been the greatest battle ever.
It was so funny. It's just funny how people want to immediately attack you because they can't read. But I mean, it's just like, wow. Like, to even, they're not even on the same, not like, it's just hilarious. Like, there was how many thousands of releases of O Come Emmanuel are out there, and people are like, you didn't steal it from them, or they didn't steal it from you. What? Oh my goodness. It's awesome.
I mean, you guys do kind of have a history with Skillet. I think the last time you were on, you said they may or may not have stolen one of your songs.
There is a chance. There really is a chance. But I wouldn't fault them for that. That's my fault. Like, we never copyrighted it, and it was in distribution in Nashville. So it's going to land on someone's lap, and whatever.
One of these days, I'm going to get you to tell me off air what that song is. Because I asked you last time, and you're like, I'm not telling you.
I don't even know if it's out there anymore. That was like, so,
our version or?
No, their version. The song, what song it is. I know that the only way you can pick it out is if you listen to, they did a Sparrow Records in-person acoustic session. And that's when it really struck me that it was like lick for lick, not word for word. They didn't take, because they didn't take the words, but they took lick for lick. And I'm like, come on. But they may not have. I might just be that. I just might be stupid.
Nice.
So do you guys have plans for touring in the current, like not so distant future or distant future? Is that something you guys want to be doing more of?
No.
No.
we'll say it like that because touring is not even close to what it used to be. Like, you literally have to have some major source of income in order to dive into that. And for us to go and tour nonstop would cost us our family, our livelihood, and all that stuff. Just to put our name in front of three people a night, that doesn't happen very well. So for us, we focus on festivals. We focus on venues that are going to be maximizing our time and our efforts. But touring, just, I mean, I'm not gonna put it a long way. If like a major band contacted us and said, we're gonna pay you X number of dollars to go out for this year, we know what our number is, then we would do it. But if that doesn't happen, it's not gonna happen.
It's just easier to put ourselves in high demand.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I've seen more and more bands saying that exact same thing. Is, you know, people asking, "Now, when are you gonna come to my town?" They're like, "Probably never." Like, not to be rude, but probably never, because we'll go, and it literally just be playing for you. Nobody else will show up. Like, nobody goes to concerts anymore, which is sad. I love concerts. I love going and seeing my favorite bands in front of me.
So yeah. I mean, and for artists, there is that, and it sounds superficial, but it is. We're humans. There's the instant gratification. We're right in front of the people. They're loving what they're hearing, or they're hating. I mean, like, I don't know that I've ever had anybody yell at us for our music. We've had a couple times where people told us to shut up and keep playing. I think I said hello is what I said. We stopped the song long enough for me to say hello to the audience, and some old drunk dude was like, "Shut up and start playing."
Hear a song.
I think he yelled "Freebird" too. I don't know. But yeah, touring is not the necessity anymore. It used to be. It used to be the necessity before there was, you know, the overabundance of sources to put your music and videos on. You had to go in front of people. You had to play. Now the goal is to just draw people into those overabundance of resources and have them kind of follow you there. It's not instant gratification, but it still is money well spent, if I can say that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, going into this new record, what have you added into it? Like, I know you've said there's been some lineup changes. So, what pieces have you added to your guys' lineup that just kind of made things gel for this new record?
There are more angst-filled elements to it. Like, the guitars are going to be a little bit more crunchy, a little bit heavier. Probably less of the, you know, our traditional 70s, 80s type of influences. It really, again, it depends on the listener. There'll always be those pieces that, because I'm doing the writing, Jeremy's doing the writing, there's still going to be those elements because that's who we are. But when you bring in two new guitarists, you're going to have a different type of feel. So when Jeff had to step away, then a new guitarist stepped into his place. And then we brought in a guitarist that, you know, kind of just landed in our laps. And so it's just how it works out. And so you just have, it just evolves.
They added just something special into it.
Something of their own, even though sometimes, like, we have a vision and we kind of know where it's going to go. And so it's, you know, I'm not a guitarist, I'm a keyboardist. So a keyboardist trying to tell a guitarist how to play is absolutely comical. You just do it like this. That doesn't work
out. I mean, nice. I think we had a vision going into the album. It was just finding the right guitarist to fill it.
Yeah. Mm.
Nice. So,
did we answer your question, or did we politicize it?
No, that was absolutely what I wanted to hear.
Who does the artwork?
What's that?
Who does your guys' artwork for your album covers?
That would be me.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Oh, I really like it. It's really raw. It's not like in the world we live in, everything is so fake and AI generated and too perfect. And I really love your artwork. It's just right there, you know?
I make all of it by hand. I don't use AI. Maybe sometimes I'll like doodle and let AI clean it up, but I don't let AI create.
Yeah, I can see that. And I really, really value it. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah.
I'm kind of anti-AI over here, so.
Yeah, I don't understand. If you're going to be an artist and do artwork, why use AI? It doesn't make sense to me.
I heard a wonderful quote once that was basically along the lines of using AI to create art no more makes you an artist than playing Call of Duty makes you a soldier. Like,
yeah.
It's not what it is. It's fake. It's a farce.
And, as far as like AI goes, we can see the damage that it's doing to the music industry, to, you know, even artists. We have a mutual friend, Raker, and I do that. Mm-hmm. This guy has worked for GM. He's worked for Marvel. He's worked for Disney. All those companies have pretty much gone to AI, and he's just like, and this guy's talented. Insanely talented, and all that work went away because of AI. He cannot get work
because of it.
Yep.
Big sad.
And it is frustrating, and I mean, I'll stand on my soapbox because I know that there's artists in our circle, all of our circles, that are adamantly at all for AI, and they're already using it, and they need to stop it already, because if they need AI to make music, then they're not a musician, just like you said. Like, they need to just stop it. They need to have a heart about this and like find another way to be popular. If you think that's going to make you popular, find another way, because that's just not the right way.
The sad thing is when new artists submit music to us, my first response to them before I even listen to the song is, has AI been in this at all? Have you used AI to create this at all? And if they say yes, I move it to a file and sorry, we can't play it.
Yep. I've had several people, because I'm a musician, they'll send me songs they're really proud of, and I know flat out they're not a musician. They never had played an instrument in their life, and they'll be like, and I'm like, how did you have a band write this for you? They're like, no, I used AI. I'm like, not going to listen to you. Sorry. I just can't do it. Well, I just wanted to put my lyrics out there. No, not going to listen to it.
I've had those same conversations with people, and I flat out told them, you know what? You want a name of a band? I will send you their information. Send them the lyrics. You know, hire them to make your songs.
Yep. Nope.
Well, you know, it's easier this way. There you go. It's easier.
Easy.
You can usually tell by listening to it.
Yep. Easy come, easy go.
There's always something off about it when you listen to it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, what comes next for you guys? I know you said you got slow drips coming out. You're hoping in February. Are we going to start seeing more lives? Because I know for a while you guys were hitting it all the time on Facebook. Yeah. Like my phone was every night, Mark Holder Bell Live. And I'm like,
no,
all right.
We're coming close to being able to be back into at least a multi-month type of situation. There was a lot of changes that happened probably September-ish.
Around that time.
Yeah. And so one of them is that we don't currently have a location to do anything. So we have to kind of set up wherever we can. And that's where we are. And it's creating a lot of problems. And, you know, we had a consistent location before. But we will have a new location probably about February-ish. So yeah, we'll be doing more go lives. We have a lot of, so the idea is moving forward is we probably won't be releasing a full album for a very long time. So we're probably going to do a song and a video all together. So there's like, and we still want to do a song first, you know, and then the video second, just because maybe it's the old school mentality, but I would rather have radio play it first before people see it visually. It's just kind of the way it always, it's kind of the way it always was. So it kind of works that way. But I mean, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. And with all the new independent radio opportunities, then why not? So
yeah, for sure. I got one more question for I let the other two run wild on you for a second here. So if people go on and they check out your YouTube page, you guys got a few cover songs on there. Are you guys going to be doing any more of those? Because honestly, I'm a cover song nerd, and you guys is some of the best. Like, I love your cover of Eleanor Rigsby. Like, there's times where I'm at work and I'll just put on YouTube and just listen to that a few times. Because, I mean, I think it's that good. Are you guys going to be doing any more stuff like that? Any more covers?
We have
discussed it.
Yeah, we've talked about a couple different approaches. We even talked about releasing decades, like maybe putting an EP out of a decade. And then moving on to another decade. So,
like Malcore does the 80s.
Yeah, Malcore does. So we'll see how that works out. So,
you just made this old man's heart grow three sizes bigger.
Is there a decade you want us to do first?
Yeah, what decade? We were thinking of starting in the 1800s.
No, let's just get out there with like a flute and I mean, I love like 90s like grunge metal. Like that's my jam, but like I would love to hear you guys do some 80s stuff too. Like, I mean, just from your previous music, I'd love to hear some of that. But yeah. I want to hear it all.
Yeah.
All of it.
I heard you guys mention a minute ago about your influences from like the 80s era kind of rock. What would you say, what bands or artists or musicians have been your big inspirations for your music as it's developed?
We're on totally opposite spectrums. So
let's hear them both. This is good. This is great.
From the 80s or just from any decade?
And no, just in general. I'm just saying that's what I heard from what you guys said. But just Malcore as a whole.
Decade-wise, for me, it's Depeche Mode, Nine Inch Nails, Skinny Puppy. Skillet was a big influence for a while. Until they stole our music.
now we're just ghostwriters.
There was a ton of underground bands that influenced me. I personally have always prided myself, and I haven't had the time, but I always prided myself in finding bands before everybody else found them and then getting angry at the bands because they're now popular. That's just how I roll.
Yep.
Yeah. What about you? Did I steal your thunder?
So, no, I mean, I like Nine Inch Nails, but I also like Chevelle. I also like bands like Devil Wears Prada, Sleeper. I tend to lean heavy, but also then I really go mellow, like M83 and stuff like that, like real down-tempo stuff.
Do you like some M83?
Yeah.
I mean, we probably have a lot of the same, but like we grew up in different eras.
We meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, we crisscross. That'll make us jump, so.
Crisscross apples.
Yes! Malcore covers crisscross. I love it. That's got to come out.
Well, we could destroy it.
So if you like Chevelle, do you like Finger 11? Like their first album?
Their first, yeah.
Couple, yeah. Yeah. Like some of the Finger 11 stuff's garbage. But
some of it.
I love them. They're coming to town here in Ohio in a couple months, and I think I might go see that.
Yeah, we opened up for a band that was big in the 90s, and we thought this would be a great show, and like 10 people showed up. It was amazing.
What was that?
It was last summer.
Who was it?
So speaking of you guys going on tour, who was your favorite band to ever play with?
None of them. No, we enjoy. So
it depends.
Skillet is probably the most real band to be around. They're super real. It's hard for even us to understand because they've gotten so big, but we kind of grew up with them. We played with them when they were smaller. and they've just never changed as people. They're still the same Skillet, just richer and bigger. Other than that, I don't know. Like, Spoken's pretty real. Matt's a real good guy.
Yeah, he's nice. I mean, what's his name from Death Therapy?
No, Jason. Jason from Death Therapy and Becoming the Archetype. He's good to play with, too. He's a good guy. So there's a lot of good people. There's also a lot of jerks, but we won't name those people. So
unless you want us to later.
Maybe once we end the live stream, then you can tell us.
I'll have it on recording, though, that we can
We may hit the list too.
We might hit the list of jerks. There is sometimes where if you get with a band at the wrong time, they can all appear to be jerks. Because especially like throughout the years of playing, sometimes you get shoved into a show that has 10 bands shoved into 4 hours of time. And so, like, all of us, no matter how big we were, we only have a 5 or 10 minute set change. And so we're pushing each other on and off the stage, literally just like, get out of my way. I've got to get started because the show has to go on. So you all look like jerks at some point.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then I was scrolling through your guys' Facebook page and I saw a really cute picture of a husky. Is that one of your guys' huskies?
Where'd the husky come from? You never know with us. I don't think any of us have huskies right now.
That was a stolen dog.
It's some random dog that they found down the street.
No, I think Kira still, she was looking on the JSP Facebook page, wasn't she?
Oh, no. I promise you I wasn't. There was this really cute picture of this husky, like, sitting on a couch wearing sunglasses. And I was like, I wonder if that's their dog.
No. But it could have been, like, back in the day when you didn't get flagged for like sharing pictures like that. Now they all get flagged and get, you know, throttled down. So, but I don't know. We were sharing a lot of pictures to attract a lot of people for a while.
Okay, that makes sense. Cause your pictures did get kind of weird for a minute. I was like, I'm trying to figure you out. And I'm like, this is a lot. Like, a teenage girl just got a hold of your phone and.
Hey. Here's the thing, like, that drove so much traffic, and then, like, when that stops happening, then we stop doing it. Like, so there has been periods of time where we were sort of on, like, the cusp of things, and so you start doing stuff, and then everybody else starts doing it, and then the internet says no more, and so it's no fun anymore when you can't do it. So, yeah, there's definitely periods of time where we were using anything, and you'll find us if you go to our website, you'll find we have Christmas recipes, and that was driving a lot of traffic to our website for a while.
Yeah, your website does have a lot of different things on there. It is very impressive. I'm telling you, it definitely looks like you have ADHD for sure.
Definitely.
And this is why we have Kira on the show, make fun of our guests
in the best way possible.
That's okay.
Time for us to go now.
All right, we're out of here.
Bring the husky on. I want to see the
husky. To find him, I think we gave him away.
It's not nice to call our band.
No, I don't even know if anyone's owned a husky.
I don't know. As a kid, I owned husky pants.
Oh my goodness. All right, well, I hate to say it, but we're quickly running out of time for the live. So, you guys know, we like to pray for you guys. How can we be praying for you?
Like every other band probably has said, you know, definitely the spiritual attacks come. So, definitely that the Holy Spirit covers us, protects us, and guides us, because it's hard to navigate when you want to reach so many people with this hope that you have, you know, burning inside of you. So definitely that. And then financially, because it's a different world for musicians these days, if you didn't make it big in the early 2000s, you're probably not making any money doing this. So it's definitely always a financial struggle, because, you know, people still want their money to produce our music. So that comes at a cost, and just the whole advertising. There's a lot of money that goes into being a band. So Definitely that. And then just, you know, I think I covered it. I think it's good spiritually and all that. So,
and we will also pray for your upcoming music releases.
Yeah.
All right. Upcoming music. All right. So I'll go ahead and close this out in prayer. So, great and heavenly Father, I thank you so much for bringing the guys on the show to chat with us today. It's always so good catching up with them. Lord, I just ask you to protect them spiritually and physically. Lord, just give them the strength that they need to fight off all these people that like to attack them and bash them and sow seeds of doubt in them. Lord, just continue to build them up. Continue to give them words to say. Lord, I ask that you just provide for them. We know, you know, how expensive it could be just living, honestly. So, Lord, we know that you can provide. So, please just provide for them. And Lord, help them with their upcoming music. Just let it be honoring and glorifying to you. I know we're all excited to hear it, knowing their heart. So just continue to work through them and continue to help them move forward with this music. And above all else, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for our sins on the cross. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
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 Well, guys, thank you so much. We appreciate you guys coming on. This has been awesome. And let's not let it be 3 years again. Like, I honestly do enjoy talking to you guys.
It's Riker, been good.
Kira, this is always awesome. I look forward to this every Monday. Jeremy, you were supposed to be on. You failed us. You're fired. No, hopefully we'll see you next week. But above all else, for those watching and listening, I just want to remind you all that if you're going to rock for him. Have a good night, everyone.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below and don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're going to rock for him.
Coming up next week on the Rock for Him podcast, we have Lee Moore of Solid Rock Radio,